This is Nachyomi, Sefer Shmuel Bet, Chapter 9. True to form, David wishes to honor the oath that he made to both Yonatan and Shaul to preserve and protect their descendants after their deaths. He seeks out any surviving member of the house of Shaul. Toward this end, he summons Tziva, who was a servant who had been given the responsibility of overseeing and managing the estate of Shaul. David inquires whether there is any descendant of Shaul still alive. Tziva responds that Mephibosheth, who is lame and incapable of walking, is the son of Yonatan and the sole heir of the household. Rather than living at home, Mephibosheth had been residing with another wealthy family that has been taking care of him. David summons him from there, and they meet. We can assume that this was a tense encounter, since ostensibly Mephibosheth had no idea why he was being called to the palace and may have suspected that his life was in danger. In those days, a new king would routinely exterminate the family of his predecessor to remove any possibility of a threat to his power. However, David wants to inform Mephibosheth that he's entitled to all of the property that belonged to his father and to his grandfather, and that he is invited to live in the palace and dine at the table of David permanently. David instructs Tziva that he and his family should maintain the estate of Shaul, tilling the land and harvesting the produce on behalf of Mephibosheth, but that Mephibosheth would reside with David at his leisure. Tziva, whom we are told had 15 sons and 20 servants of his own, accepts this command and departs. This brief chapter is another example of David's principled and selfless behavior. He fulfills his promise to Shaul and Yonatan, even though he has nothing to gain politically or personally from these actions. If anything, they may have been seen as controversial and problematic by some of his advisors. They may have been worried that he would be fueling a resurgence of Shaul's supporters in opposition to David by strengthening the house of Shaul. Nevertheless, David is true to his word. The audience is somewhat wary of the character of Tziva, servant and executor of Shaul, and for good reason. When we read between the proverbial lines of the story, we gather that Tziva was given almost total control of the properties of Shaul, and that he was not especially deferential to Mephibosheth, who, in spite of being legally entitled to much wealth, was currently dependent upon another family for room and board. Apparently, Mephibosheth was not able to stand up for himself, literally or figuratively, and protest. So Tziva took advantage of his weakness and treated the estate of Shaul as his own. A typical servant did not have 15 sons and 20 slaves. Tziva fancied himself like a king and was living the lifestyle of the rich and famous on Shaul's bill or at his expense. Really, Mephibosheth's expense at this point, since Mephibosheth would have been the heir to all of that wealth. From Tziva's initial response to David, we sense a lack of respect for and even possibly resentment of Mephibosheth, whom he described to David as lame in his feet. In other words, unworthy of your concern or favor, insignificant. We can assume that David's declaration that the estate of Shaul belongs to his rightful heir and his order to Tziva to work the land on behalf of Mephibosheth were not well received, not accepted bisimcha, we could say, but that Tziva had no choice but to obey the voice of the king. For Tziva, this meant relinquishing his claim to power and influence and discontinuing his comfortable life in order to support the grandson of his master, whom he regarded as a pathetic inferior, undeserving of such service. It will become apparent in future chapters that Tziva never quite gives up hope of an eventual return to glory. He bides his time, and when Mephibosheth is again vulnerable, will disingenuously attempt to regain his unjust foothold in Shaul's home.